time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
How'd you know it was Marvin?
You told me the stump beforehand. I looked it up inside of this book.
And Chad P.
KSLU at... Oh, Lord.
You got... I'm telling you, you got me all flustered.
Class is in.
This is Rock School, broadcasting live from the campus of Southeastern Louisiana University, where I, Joe Burns, happen to be a professor. Sitting to my immediate right is...
Chad P.
And he works at this radio station in which we are broadcasting from here on the campus, Southeastern Louisiana University.
Just in case you missed it the first time.
Yeah, I got to work it in twice. Was that professional radio? Are you kidding me?
Done right here.
While you wait. We're out from Christmas, but as the host of this here program, I'm putting together a library of books to make sure that we constantly have information and topics. And one of the ones I got a hold of is by this guy named Dale Sherman. It's called Urban Legends of Rock and Roll.
I gotta
tell you, can tell.
I am so excited about this topic. When you emailed me and said we're going to talk urban legends, I just immediately became excited because this is some stuff that just piques my interest.
The stuff that's not true or the stuff that's true? Because some of this stuff is true. That's just what kills me.
Just hearing the stuff. Even if it's not true, where in the world did that come from? I love it.
I'd love to know where some of this stuff came from. You want to start with Kiss?
Yeah,
there
let's
are
do it.
So many things about Kiss. Here are some of the urban legends about Kiss. Whether they're true or not, well, we'll see if we can't set you straight on them. The name Kiss stands for Knights in Satan's Service.
I heard that one.
That's not true.
Okay.
Kiss actually stands for Keep It Simple, Stupid. And, of course, then they put on enough makeup that took them 4 hours to get ready for a concert. But, supposedly Paul Stanley was also a worshiper of Adolf Hitler, which is why the two S's in the KISS logo looks like they're from Nazi Hitler Germany.
Is that true?
No, of course not. Okay. He wanted them squared off so they would look like the K in the KISS logo.
All right.
We also have... The makeup that was created for the KISS people was created so that Ace Frehley could be hidden. He's actually Jim Morrison, who faked his death and decided to get into a heavy metal band.
Oh, good grief.
That one's true.
No, it's not true.
No, it's not true. And finally, this is the one I absolutely love.
What?
Gene Simmons would actually find a groupie before each concert, kill her...
No.
Drain her of her blood, and that's what he would spit out when he did that dragon thing and went, bleh, and the blood went out. Actually, that's not true. Gene Simmons was never actually one to be secretive about what he actually spit out. It says here, over the years, he tried numerous different things.
Yeah.
He actually tried pig blood. He just couldn't stand the taste of it. The problem is everything he tried was too watery. Even stage blood was too watery because, you see, he needed a lot of a lot of blood to come out.
Right.
You know what finally worked?
What?
Biscus Red number 5, which is a type of stage blood, and raw eggs.
Ew.
So just like the Rocky, the Rocky one.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you go see it and Gene Simmons goes bleh and blood comes out.
Could be raw egg.
Raw eggs. And red, Biscus Red number 5, that's what it is. It doesn't taste very good, but it can certainly help you rock and roll all night. This is Rock School. It's all urban legends, all hour long.
You show us everything you got. You keep on dancing and the room gets hot. You drive us wild, we'll drive.
Drain their blood, huh?
You got the best Kiss.
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
You've seen these reality shows about some of these rockers that, you know, like Rock of Love with Brett and Michael.
Yeah.
Just so stupid.
Yes.
But the Gene Simmons Family Jewels
Not
series.
Bad.
Oh, I
Not
love
bad.
It.
So
it's
I love
hilarious.
It too. Hilarious. I absolutely love it too. I can't wait for them to go on tour. Yeah, I know their last one was supposedly the last one. Yeah, and Cher's last one was her last one, and she's
exactly.
starting another one. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think you get 7 farewell tours before we actually just take you out back and kill you. And you can't have any more of those.
Who's next?
You asked for this one. 311.
I love 311.
311 from the great rock city of Omaha, Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
ladies and gentlemen, which also gave us. Okay, nobody else. Nobody else came from Omaha, Nebraska. This is from their 1995 self-titled album, 311. A lot of people call it the Blue Album. Here is the urban legend about 311.
I've heard this
Supposedly,
one.
The name 311
mm-hmm.
means that the band pledges their allegiance
yep.
to the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you how you get there.
I do. I know.
Well,
Let me do it. I hope this is right.
If it isn't, I got the book in front of me. Go ahead.
K is the 11th letter of the alphabet.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
Three Ks.
Three K, K, K.
K, K, K.
Okay. That's the rumor. It's, of course, pure unadulterated horse plop.
Yeah.
The actual, do you know where the name actually came from?
That I don't know.
Okay. The band's name is from the police code, the Nebraska police code for indecent exposure.
Yay.
The band's original guitarist, his nickname was Peanut.
Mm-hmm.
He actually went skinny dipping in a public pool and was arrested.
Nice.
So they thought it was funny that the code that was called in to get him was 311.
Here's the band that was in Baton Rouge. My friend didn't even know it was them. He was drinking a beer with them, so chill.
Right on my side is my ego becomes a funky child with some wood on my tongue. Feel like intake of breath and my mouth gets loose. So while I get up a spit, I dream of juice. Have you ever made out in dark hallways? This place, I guess that made your day. I say, play the track from your record collection. It's your mix, congratulations.
Chain a lot of names on some. Know that we have always been down, down. If I ever did it, then.
That's Rock School, 311. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's down. And yeah. Chad, why? Stop pouting. Stop pouting. It's not that bad.
It is that bad.
It's not that bad. Let me, folks, let you in on just a little bit of what radio is all about.
It was horrible.
There is this thing in the world of radio called kissing the post.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever done radio, you know anybody who is in the radio or on the air, it's called kissing the post. What you do is you talk while a song is playing, and you either A, stop talking the second that the person begins to sing,
mm-hmm.
or you talk, and you say the first couple lyrics at the same time that the person begins to sing. Which is what Chad tried to do.
Tried
he specifically said, play that 311 song, and I want to say the word chill when he says chill.
Yeah.
He just missed it by half a second. Nobody even caught it.
Half a second is an eternity.
Yes, nobody caught it. Don't worry about it.
It was so noticeable.
Don't be upset.
They didn't catch it, we just told them about it.
You told me to tell them about it. You said come on out and lecture them and tell them what kissing the post means.
You wasn't supposed to say that.
No, okay, well, you told me to.
We
move along to one of New York's favorite daughters. This is Pat Benatar.
Ah, drummer Myron Grumbacher.
And Pat Benatar has a few little urban legends about her. As I go through this book by Dale Sherman, Urban Legends of Rock and Roll, you never can tell. We're going to play Promises in the Dark, and I'm going to talk about her Crime of Passion album. The Crimes of Passion album came out in the United States, and everyone went, oh, that's fantastic. She's really wonderful. The problem is, when it was released overseas, everybody thought she was a porn star.
What?
Because when the person who was supposed to distribute it overseas got a hold of it, he thought that the picture on the front was not only, you know, sexy and attractive, it should be, enhanced. So he at the time it wasn't Photoshop back then. I guess he just sort of cut the picture out with an X-Acto knife
mm-hmm.
and put the body of a pornography star topless and all of that. And the people basically expected that she was an American pornography star.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, she's not a pornography star. Also, a lot of people believe that the song Hit Me With Your Best Shot
uh-huh.
is about sadomasochism. It is not. There's also a song called Hell is for Children. A lot of people believe that that song states that it is good to be angry and to hit your children. No! That's not what the song is about. However, Promises in the Dark is about making a promise during and then not, moving through with The Promise. This is Pat Benatar. She's wonderful. She has no urban legends. Right here on Rock School. Go ahead, Pat. Sing the song.
Never again. Isn't that what you say? You've been through this before. You swore this time you'd think with your head. No one would ever have you again. And if taken was gonna get done, you decide.
Now I gotta ask you.
What?
This is the question that was in my high school.
What?
Real quick, Chad P. Blondie or Benatar? If you could marry one of the two of them, Blondie or Benatar?
Benatar.
Really?
Yeah.
Then we are men of like mind,
good,
ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
We're back in 1 minute on Rock School.
Support for KSLU programming is made possible in part by Home Theater Etc. In addition to flat panel displays and digital surround sound setups, Home Theater Etc. also offers home theater furniture, such as entertainment centers, TV stands, home theater seating, and pop-up flat panel lifts. Home Theater Etc. is located on the corner of Morris and Mooney, across from Florida Parish's Bank. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777.
This is Rock School, as we talk about urban legends of rock and roll. Hey, you never can tell. It's a book by Dale Sherman. Got it for Christmas and just getting around to it. I am putting together a wicked large library. eBay is my greatest friend. You can get books for like $2.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're keeping the sticky note people in business. Look at all the bookmarks.
I'll tell you what,
stand
back when I walk into Office Depot. I just wear the numbers right off of the credit card.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Shoot.
Was it absolutely necessary for you to kiss into that Pat Benatar song?
Yes.
You
yes. Had to.
Egotistical shtick, you.
Hey.
What?
Just because I love myself. Uh-huh. It's time for the B-52s.
Okay.
I got a couple legends about the B-52s. Here's the one legend. They hate war so much that they decided to name themselves after a bomber. Wrong.
That didn't sound right.
No, B-52 is actually the haircut that the two women in the band wore. It was this giant sort of beehive thing,
mm-hmm.
but what made it a B-52 is that it had a hole in the middle of it.
What?
Yeah, you take your hair and you can kind of get a look at it here. You take the picture and you make the hair go woo way up top,
uh-huh.
and that's a beehive hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
But you make it a B-52 by putting a hole in the middle of it. So if you can actually, if the woman is, I don't know, 5'6", 5'7", with an extra foot and a half, puts her up to, I don't know, Shaq height.
Yeah.
If you can get high enough to look straight down. What makes it the B-52 is it's got the hole in the middle of it.
And you can put out your cigarette ashes.
What's really funny is I'm showing this with my right hand and I'm on the radio.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
I'm
nothing.
Watching you do that.
Yeah. Now, you're originally from the South, born and bred right here in the great state of Louisiana. Am
That'd
I right?
Be me. Yes, sir.
Okay. Here's the second urban legend. The line, tin roof, rusted.
Okay.
Right, which is inside a love shack.
Yeah.
Is Southern slang for being pregnant.
What?
Have you ever heard that before?
No.
No. It's because it's not true.
Tin roof rust?
I'd never heard of it before either. Well, apparently somebody who's not from the South made up this little rumor. The thing is, the way the band wrote is they seldom came to the studio with any lyrics whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They just sort of, whatever came out of their mouth, they went to. There's this part in the song where it goes da-da-da-da-da-da, boom. And something had to happen. And they were looking at pictures of all of these shacks, and the woman who was supposed to yell the line went, tin roof! Rusted. And they put the whole thing together, and that's what they came up with.
Okay.
Which is where the term rock lobster came from. So if you're wondering why they're singing about a lobster, a rock lobster, it just happened to be what came out of their mouth in the studio. Here's a B-52s on Rock School.
We were at a party. The dear love fell in the day. Someone reached in and grabbed it. What a rock lobster.
You want to hear a funny story about this song?
Yeah, go ahead.
I dated this girl in college for a short while. Oh, man. And she took me to this dance, and I don't dance. I just don't dance. Mm-hmm. Even when I played in bands, I barely moved. And this song comes on, and she grabs me, oh, let's dance. Okay, sure. And when they go down, 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 the audience is supposed to lie down. Now, you know me. You've known me for a few years. Can you imagine me lying on the ground and then flopping around like a fish? And I did it. You know? I'm flopping around like a fish, and dum, 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 da, da, dum, 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 dum. And then you jump up, and you start dancing again. And it does this, and I looked at her after the second time, and he goes, does he do this again? And she goes, yeah, it happens like twice more. Oh, great. I'm in this white shirt. You know, I'm in jeans and white shirt, and I'm lying on this beer-soaked ground. You know, dun, 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 dun. Oh, it was hideous.
With, like, bar juice all over
it was hideous. Yeah. You know, why buy a drink? I'm wearing it. We're right at the half-past mark here on Rock Schools. We talk about urban legends, and we're going to talk about meatloaf here in a minute. But just first, go to the website.
Mm-hmm.
The shows are there. The pictures are there. Good stuff's there. Lots of pictures of when Chad and I were in the Frank Zappa band. Lots of good stuff. We might have photoshopped it, but it might be real. It might be real. Maybe. Maybe. Chad
might be an urban legend.
Might be an urban legend. Oh, that's good. I wish I'd have said that. I wish I'd have said that. KSLU.org. Mm-hmm. Write us an email. Do this.
KSLU at... Oh, Lord. You got... I'm telling you, you got me all flustered. You're kissing every song.
Fantastic.
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School, one big word, at gmail.com.
If anybody tells you we edit the show to make ourselves sound better, don't you believe them.
No.
So we're going to talk about meatloaf. You got a stump for me?
I do. Yeah. A very simple stump.
Yeah. His name's not meatloaf.
Yeah,
you can probably tell.
He was born Michael Lee Adey.
Yes.
But do you know that he actually changed his first name to Michael?
Oh, so he wasn't born Michael.
No.
He changed his name to Michael.
It's very similar to Michael. In fact...
Marvin.
How'd you know it was Marvin?
You told me the stump beforehand. I looked it up inside of this book. Look, it says it right there.
I am not liking you today. This wasn't an open book quiz.
That's why you never tell me the stump before this thing starts. We'll be back with some urban legends on meatloaf after we read this book by the Paradise by the Dashboard Light on Rock School. Today. That's meatloaf. There you go.
You know, I bet if we really tried, we could probably fill up the rest of the show with this stuff about him.
Oh, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. And you know where he started doing his recording?
No.
Cleveland, Ohio. I did a 1 month internship at a place downtown Cleveland, Ohio called The Recording Studio. That was its name, The Recording Studio. The original place where Meatloaf started his recording.
So tell me some stuff about him.
Meatloaf got his nickname from his friends in high school after he allowed them to run over his head with their car.
Yeah, okay.
That's the urban legend. And the thing is, you know where it started?
Where?
Meatloaf. He has about he has about 10 different stories as to where his name came from. Mm. Another one is that his high school coach called him Meatloaf. Another one was that he was with a girl and it didn't quite go very well, and she nicknamed him that.
So
and
he kind of pulled like a Don McLean on
sure,
him.
Sure,
like, I'm
going to
start
all
these rumors. You figure it out.
Yeah, the one that probably is correct, and this is the one that's in his autobiography to Helen Beck. Meatloaf stated that it's a nickname his father had been calling him almost from the day he returned home from the hospital, this little tiny thing inside of, you know, wrapped up in a swaddling blanket, his little meatloaf.
Okay.
And that's pretty much where the thing came from.
Well, that makes sense.
Another one I adore about Meatloaf is that a millionaire who loved listening to the Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell album, his sole heir was told, you can have your multi-million dollar, but you have to listen to the Bat Out of Hell album in its entirety every day for the rest of your life, or all the money is going to be taken away from you.
Oh, my
word. Oh, it's a cute story, but how do you enforce that? What, does some guy show up in a butler costume every day with a CD like in that old Memorex commercial, and you have to sit in this giant leather black chair and listen to Bat Out of Hell? You know what? Take the $1 million.
No,
I mean, I like
joke.
It as much as everybody else, but gee whiz, if I got to listen to it every day, I might as well just go down into hell just to get away from it. So there's Meatloaf. Next guy up, John Parr.
Okay.
This is really a moldy, oldie, goldie. Do you remember Fever, the song I Can Feel the New Horizon, St. Elmo's Fire. Do you remember that
Elmo's
song?
Fire?
You remember that?
I think
kinda,
so.
Kind of, yes, sort of.
It's a little shady.
It's an okay tune, but he had another one, John Parr did. He's a Brit, and he always used to play a Les Paul that had an American flag painted on it. And he had a song after St. Elmo's Fire called Naughty Naughty that I'm going to play. Was really good. I really wonder what happened to the guy. This was a hit and a half, and it was really good. The story goes that John Parr was discovered because a record representative from EMI was burying his wife. And depending on which version you hear of it, his son, his daughter, his wife, his dog, what
somebody,
have you. Yeah,
something.
Was burying his wife, and John Parr was the gravedigger, got hit on the head with the backhoe, and got amnesia, and wandered staggeringly into the backseat of the limo with his tape, and was found passed out in the backseat of the limo, and the guy from EMI was so absolutely struck with grief that instead of kicking him out, he actually had someone to speak to and listen to John Parr's tape, and that's how he got signed.
So John Parr was digging a grave and happened to have his demo on him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and got hit by the backhoe and had amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
How would you remember you got signed to EMI? It's not true. He was found in a club and he got signed to EMI and the whole schmeal. This is Naughty Naughty on Rock School. School as we talk about urban legends of rock and roll.
You got hit in the head with a backhoe.
It's not even a good urban legend, I got to tell you. I mean, I understand the concept of it. I understand it's this whole thing of let's make fun of him. You know, it's one of those he didn't get taken on his talent. He got taken because the EMI guy was distraught over the death of his mother, brother, sister, cousin, dog, what have you.
No.
And they're making
record
fun of
record reps don't have that much sympathy.
Home Theater Etc., located on the corner of Morris and Mooney across from Florida Parish's Bank, supports programming on 90.9 KSLU. Home Theater Etc. offers several brands of outdoor speakers for outdoor functions, including Klipsch, JBL, Mirage, Yamo, and MTX. Home Theater Etc. also offers barbecue pits for purchase. The telephone number is area code 985-340-7777. Home Theater Etc., a proud supporter of programming on 90.9 FM KSLU.
Rock School, as we talk about urban legends of rock and roll. Hey, you never can tell. It's a book by Dale Sherman and got it off of eBay. As I start to put together as large a library as I can of all of these different books, there's a ton of them, too. I mean, a lot of people have written these trivia-based books. We move along to the Monkees.
The Monkees.
The Monkees. When the Monkees were being put together, open cattle calls were given for people to come in and try out for the, you know, the parts of all of these.
Cattle calls?
And cattle calls. The concept of we need people to play these parts on this television show. Anybody who fits this general description, come and, you know, try to be a part of this.
Oh, okay.
So an open cattle call, it's called. Right. Here are some people that tried out for the part that Davy Jones finally got. Paul Williams, Tommy Boyce, Bobby Hart, Stephen Stills. Mm. Now, here's the urban legend. Charles Manson.
What?
Tried out for the Monkees. Here's the downside of it. It's true.
What?
Well, it's kind of true. Let me backtrack just a little bit. Charles Manson was on the cattle call list. He was supposed to try out to be in the Monkees.
What happened? He got detained doing something else?
Detained is the correct way of putting it. Manson was actually serving time in the United States Penitentiary located on McNeil Island, Washington, for violating probation. The problem was he probably wouldn't have made it. He was 30 years old at the time, and the producers made it very clear that they were looking for people between the ages of 17 and 21. Oh, how life would have been different had Take the Last Train to Clarksville been sung by Charles Manson.
You think?
Here's Valerie on Rock School.
Ah, a girl I know who makes me feel so good. And
man, that is a whale of a guitar part. I mean, that's a beautiful Spanish-run guitar part. That's back when the Monkees were not playing their own instruments. Later on, they actually were allowed to play backup and play rhythm and such, and they were allowed to do a bit of it. But, man, what a beautiful guitar run that is.
Charles Manson.
Believe it or not, you were just stating as we got off the air, would things have changed had Charles Manson actually been allowed to wear the silly rubber duck feet and do the goofy stuff on TV?
I think maybe some people may have lived.
Joe Cocker. You've seen Joe Cocker perform. He goes back and forth and crazy and wacky and all that kind of stuff. Here's the urban legend for Joe Cocker. He has cerebral palsy.
No, he doesn't.
And because he has cerebral palsy, that's why he bounds around like that on stage. What do you think? True or false?
I say false.
No, it's completely false. He has that movement because when he got started, he was with a group called Vance Arnold. He actually went under the name Vance Arnold. And the Vance Arnold band, the backup band, was called the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the first gig was he had, the first big gig Vance Arnold and the Avengers had?
Where?
He supported the Stones.
Oh, no.
How'd you like that to be your first big gig? And the thing was, he learned to do that movement because when he was at pubs, he's English, when he was at pubs, people weren't watching him. And what he did is he started moving around and waving his arms and flailing, and he found as people did that, as he did that, people started looking at him.
Yeah.
So that's why he does it. He says
an attention getter.
Yeah, and he also seems when he bears down on his stomach and such, he can hit the higher notes and such. So even as much as he's moving and as much as he looks like he's in pain, he's feeling all right on Rock School. You gotta love it. Joe Cocker, he does not have cerebral palsy.
No.
I got time for one more. Okay. I got time for one more. We're gonna finish up with Chicago here as we go through the book Urban Legends of Rock and Roll. Hey, you never can tell. We're gonna finish up with Chicago Saturday in the Park here, and the guitarist on that one was a guy named Terry Kath. Here's the urban legend. Terry Kath committed suicide by playing Russian roulette.
Wow.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
But he did shoot himself in the head.
Oh, wow.
Says here, after a party at the home of one of the road crew, his name was Don Johnson, by the way. No, not that Don Johnson. Kath was basically cleaning his pistol, and Johnson was not at all happy with the fact he was cleaning his pistol. And he said to him, hey, don't do that. And Kath said, it's not loaded. Watch. And he put it up to his head. Pow.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was it. So he wasn't playing Russian roulette, but he was being stupid. And Terry Kath, died right there. So that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back next week with a brand spanking new show, but Urban Legends comes to an end. I am Joe Burns. You are
Chad P.
Class is dismissed.